having technical issues there in Chicago. Allegedly, they had some natural storm system come through. We all know what I predicted in the last episode, actually.
Oh, hey. So fun.
Massive, massive storm coming out east, heading Woo-hoo! Right towards Mike and company. Oh, yeah.
Dude, you were right. The best part was listening to the podcast this morning and you predicting that we'd get it in 3 days. And I'm sitting there in this fucking miserable storm.
That's right, man. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you guys chemtrailed us. You got us.
No. They chemtrailed me. I'm the one suffering from all the, you know, silver iodide and all that jazz and aluminum. But you get the storm. That's how that works. I get the poison. Well, you get the poison superstorm.
Yeah. Can't be that bad.
All right, man. Yeah. So am I coming in all right? Are you hearing me okay on that side?
Oh, yeah. Everything sounds good now. Had to plug it in. Got to figure out how to do trying to figure out how to play a song from the phone for the mid-break, but looks like you might have to do the songs.
Oh, man. You'll figure it out eventually, I assure you. You've got the mixing board, so you have the tools. But the question is, do you have the talent? That's the question.
Do not have the talent. No,
no talent there, dude. All right, man. Well, we made it. How are you doing today? So you're surviving the storm that I predicted because of the chemtrails. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's pretty shitty day, but it's all right. Man, that job I even talked about is back at the same fucking job for a second round. It made no sense. So stupid.
And
2 days wasted on this drain. People are just retarded.
And with the excessive rain, no water flow through this mystery drain to help you guys push through it?
No, that was a problem. We couldn't run water. They wanted us to rod and like clean the drain without using water. It made no sense.
All right. Nice, man.
Yeah.
I know nothing about plumbing, but I love hearing it from you. It satisfies me to know that we have actual experts out there working on professional situations.
Trying anyways.
Well, you know, I mean, did you see, I think it might have been here in Denver. I read it somewhere, but they are basically, so migrants are now starting their own LLCs to bypass the work permit, mumbo jumbo.
Oh, nice. So, hiring themselves?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the land of opportunity. You got to do something, you know, create your own opportunity.
Where there's a will, there's a way, my friends.
Yeah,
come to
man.
America.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, so we got a lot going on today. We originally, because of your power outage or internet outage, we were going to do Podbean. No more there. They don't seem to like us too much on that platform. So we're now into the...
That's all right.
The rumble face.
We don't like you either, Podbean. Whatever. Stupid.
Well, either way, they're having their woke Wednesday, which is good. Good for them. I'm happy. But over here, Mike, speaking of the chemtrails, I've been dying to play it for you. We might as well do it, right? I've had it on the docket for a few days. You're suffering from the rain. I predicted it. Are you willing to dive down the deep end with me into the chemtrail realm?
Yeah, might as well.
We'll just get it out of the way. It's a good one. And then we'll start jumping around like we always do. Actually, I can't even find it now. That's how I think actually the FBI deleted it from my phone now that I think
That's
about it.
I think they kicked us off of Podbean too, man.
I know.
We gotta stop talking about Hillary Clinton. That's the problem.
Damn it. I literally made a meme for the show about her and number one on the docket. I'm just doing this one for the lulz, man. Yeah. All right. So we got Obama talking. Okay. This is not Obama talking about chemtrails. All right. But this is a guy on Dell Big Tree's show talking about moves Obama made in 2016 when it became evident that Trump was taking over and they weren't going to be able to really implement all their nut job climate change you know, nonsense that they want to do to change the world and save the planet through geoengineering. So this is a guy who's done some actual journalistic investigative work, unlike me, just, you know, shit posting on Twitter and taking pictures of the sky. this guy's out there, you know, looking for actual documentation and proof that, yes, indeed, what you are seeing in the sky with the lines and the crisscrossing, he calls them tic-tac-toes in here, you know, it's happening for sure. And it was an agreement signed by America, the EU, and China.
The Obama administration, while everybody was having the Trump-Hillary Clinton election, you know, wall-to-wall coverage. Everything always happens while nobody's looking, right? The Obama administration signed the Federal Alternative Aviation Fuel Emissions Pact with the European Union, China, and the ICAO. This can be summed up in just a couple words: biofuels for contrail control, which goes back to what Ulrich Schumann was saying. To change the chemical constituents coming out of jet aircraft so that there's less warming, more cooling contrails. So I got in touch with the guy at the FAA who was testing the biofuels. His name is Dr. Rangasai Halthori. He is the head of the FAA's Aviation Climate Change Research Initiative. And I specifically asked him, and I sent him the documentation, I said, what did Ulrich Schumann mean by less warming, more cooling contrails, predictable for operational planning? He says, we want more contrail-induced cirrus clouds by day and none by night. This is intent. I have this signed in writing directly from the head of the FAA's ACCRI. Now you look and you see American Airlines pairing up with Google Artificial Intelligence to route planes around contrail forming spaces in the sky. These are called ice supersaturated regions. Basically, Google AI and goes back to what Ulrich Schumann had actually created in 2010. He produced something called COSIP, the Contrail Cirrus Prediction Tool. COSIP has evolved to be part of what's called the next-gen transportation system in America. That's what makes all the tic-tac-toes in the sky. It is a supercomputer that routes all the flights, and inside that supercomputer is a subsystem called the Aviation Environment Design Tool, AEDT. In the AEDT, it tells planes at what altitude to fly, how much fuel to burn, all of these things. And it takes in environmental concerns into how it routes flights. What did the Biden administration just can't come out with? A report on solar radiation modification. What three areas of study did they say they want to focus on? Stratospheric aerosol injection, they call it solar radiation modification, and cirrus cloud thinning. So what you have here is a grand conspiracy between the scientists who are trying to, as they would put it, mitigate global warming impacts from aviation. But in reality, what they're doing is they're turning what's been 60 to 80 years worth of pollution into an active geoengineering program.
These freaking nut jobs, man. All right. They signed away our blue skies to a Google AI supercomputer. Do you know what that means? The sky is going to become African American.
The sky will be black. Yeah, I mean, when has Google ever made a mistake? Why not trust them with the environment? Spray chemicals above our heads. What could go wrong?
Yeah, man. So this is good stuff. So the AI, Google supercomputer, it goes based off algorithms, right? From what I'm understanding and the data it's bringing in from whatever it's tracking weather-wise at the NOAA center that they got over here in Boulder or whatever it is. And, you know, they're just routing these planes over your house, wherever you live, just because. And there's actually no real, like, science behind it, right? It's just the computer trying to kill us.
There's no way you could really cover that much area, right?
Well, yeah, I think if you have drones, if you have drones flying these planes and they're being operated logistically by an AI supercomputer, you don't even need a human involved. Yeah, I think you could totally do this.
Yeah, but just like the jet, the cost of the jet fuel.
I think that's the point, man. When it comes to military, anywhere they want to spend, and the more you spend, the more you get the next fiscal year.
Yeah, that's true.
So
I'll give you that. But it's kind of all right. Well, I guess our fate lies in the hands of Google.
I guess so.
You know, what could go wrong?
Mike, give me a touchdown on your gain there. Is your gain up?
How's that?
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Better?
Yes, man. Oh, yeah.
All right. We're still learning.
Smooth like a baby's behind. Oh, wait. We can't say that these days.
Oops. Smooth like my head. You know,
especially in an episode when we're going to talk about Hillary Clinton. All right, I wanted to get the chemtrails out of the way for my chemtrail freak lovers out there. You know, we're all in this together. Whether or not you believe in it, we're all, you know.
They're doing it.
They're doing it, man. You can see it. And I don't think that it is capable to be successful. Like, I agree with you that it's preposterous to believe that you could actually effectively cool the planet by flying enough planes and polluting the sky enough. But I think these morons think they can.
I think it's just a scam.
Yes, I agree.
Like maybe they're just blowing smoke up in the air. It's not even really harmful. Not really doing anything, but they're getting a lot of tax dollars to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a lot of money involved.
Not only that, it's like good politically for a lot of people. A lot of people can run on it. You know, if you're Republican, you could run on anti-cloud seeding. If you're Democrat, you could run on we're going to save the planet.
You know, I do not find any Republicans willing to talk about it or acknowledge it.
Well, that means they're getting a cut of it, too.
Yeah, I think everybody's in the scam, man, for sure.
Yeah.
If it's with the planes, and especially military-based operations, then this is military-industrial complex. Anybody and everybody in Congress is getting a cut of the pie.
Yeah, that's how you make your millions.
Yeah.
That's how you leave Congress with $100 million.
That's how AOC goes from a bartender to AOC with the tits she has now, right? She's got the...
her net worth is like tens of millions of dollars now.
Wow. All right.
I swear to God.
I only assume, I mean, she's in cahoots with the Nancy Pelosi, who we all know there's the Nancy Pelosi stock tracker on Twitter. So she probably has the same kind of insider info. Maybe not all the goods, right? Nancy gets the, you know, the top there, but the clippings.
When
you know,
did AOC come to the office?
2010, maybe?
Oh, she's not even that old.
All right, I don't know. I feel like the world started to go to crap around 2014, so I imagine that's when AOC entered politics. I must have nailed that one. I almost think I did.
I can't find it.
Well, because she's an asset of the three-letter agencies, obviously there's no true background history. I think she's actually just an actor.
So that's the whole thing is, that's what it was. I guess it went around on X, this whole thing that she's worth $29 million, right?
All right.
But then everybody hit the pavement running. AOC does not have a net worth of $29 million. She actually only has $45,000 in assets. And then But really, the story is, in 2018, she was worth negative $8,500, and now she's worth $29 million.
That's still a lot for someone who's making $400,000.
No, she doesn't make $400,000.
How much do the Congress people make? I thought they make $480 a year.
That's the president. Dude, they're getting like $1.75.
President makes $480? That's it?
$460, I think.
You know what? There should be no money involved. You should get nothing. Like, I've said this before. To be president, they should have to drag you kicking and screaming into the White House to serve your 4 years. That's how awful the job should be.
Dude, and president, you get that shit for life. That's the rest of your life. You know? Like, Bill Clinton, he doesn't look like he's going to die anytime soon. He's been collecting for 30 years.
Wow,
or
that's...
24 years. Still, that's pretty good. Wow. Yeah, they get $1.74.
$1.74?
I know plumbers. I work with plumbers that make more than that.
That's what I'm saying. Now I'm actually not too upset that they're getting kickbacks and freebies through their insider trading with Wall Street. It kind of makes sense, actually.
The majority party leader only gets $195.
That's it?
Not good, right? Yeah.
Especially with inflation, man. You like, dude, people at McDonald's in California are making $20 an hour. That's like 60 G's a year, man. These guys are crushing it.
Halfway to Congress. here we go. They all get $250,000 allowance for hookers.
That's right. And a free ride to Epstein Island on the Lolita Express.
Where do you think they get the hookers, Frank? Come on. Can't fuck them at my house. My wife's there with the kids.
They go where everybody goes. Mike, Diddy's house. Come on, man. They all go to Diddy's.
After they shut down the island, where are we going to go? You know? Come on.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of millionaires and billionaires, they came out on Forbes, the annual billionaire list. Did you see any of this action, Mike?
I did. What? What's her name got on there?
I know. Everybody saw that.
Taylor Swift,
of course. She must have gotten a little action out of that sweet, delicious cash cow from the Super Bowl, man. The 20 million extra viewers. I mean, it was international, right? Come on.
She got the Ozempic residuals.
Don't you? Oh, man,
not Ozempic. COVID vax.
Same. Same thing, man. They both kill you equally. That's right. Yeah, man.
Yeah, she did. Good for her. You know, she's a self-made billionaire, I guess.
That's right. And I don't really care about Taylor. That's why I found that to be the least important aspect of it. But I did find some interesting tidbits about kind of this new round of billionaires. The usual names are on the list that you would expect. Musk, Bezos, the guy who overtook Musk for number one, I'm not too familiar, but you know the brands.
All of their ex-wives.
That's right.
Like, you get to the bottom of the list, and it's all these women, and you're like, all right, women are starting to make it. But all of them were married to the guys at the top
of the
list.
That's right. Melinda Gates. Goes right down from there.
Bezos' wife, Musk's ex-wife, all of them, man. All of them.
But they throw out some pretty interesting factoids here in this little quick clip I got. We're going audio today, unfortunately. Old school, baby. But it's pretty interesting how much money these dudes are making and how many billionaires there are in this country. And now I think it's a little bit more understandable why... To be middle class in America these days, you basically have to be a millionaire. So here we go.
Forbes has just released its list of the world's billionaires, and the 10-figure club is bigger and richer than ever. There are now 2,781 billionaires around the world.
That's a lot of billionaires, man.
1,700?
That's a lot.
That's a lot, dude. And they're probably not even talking about, like, the princes.
That's what I'm thinking, too. You notice they're talking billionaire club. I'm almost certain, like, Putin and MSB or MBS from the Saudis and the Emirate guys and all those fellas in Iran, they're trillionaires, man. Like,
yeah, look how much money they just pumped into LIV Golf for nothing. They're just like, I want to own PGA.
And it's probably going to fail. Nobody's watching it. Like, it's a total bust.
Oh, you play golf pretty good. Here's $100 million to come play with us for a weekend. Like, what? And then it wasn't even like exclusive contracts or nothing, you know?
I would watch like a drunk guy golf. Why don't they have drunk sports or something like that? You know, like.
Oh, like an average American golf.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I'd be more into that. The dudes who play golf are too good at golf.
Yeah, I guess you do. It is really funny to see the guy struggling to get out of the sand trap.
Yeah.
He's like nine shots and he's still in the sand.
Typical dudes like ourselves get pissed off, throw the club, kick the sand. You know what I mean? Like,
dude, that's so funny. I was just thinking that same thing about poker. You got all these videos of like these guys at this table, and it's all professional players. And I'm like, dude, I want to watch the guy who like, you can see it in his face, he's got a good hand, but you can see everybody else's card.
Yes.
So you know he's got nothing compared to the other guy. Like the guy who's drunk, and it's like, you went all in, you idiot! And he throws his card, like, you know. That'd be good. We need more amateur sports on TV.
More, yeah, like when the movie Dodgeball came out, they had a great concept within Dodgeball, which was the Ocho. And it was like,
I was just fucking psycho. I was just ESPN Ocho. That would have been so genius.
We're at the point now, like, watch some basketball or a football game of any type, dude. It's so scripted and fake, and everyone's bought in, and they're all making money through gambling. Like, it's just not fun to watch.
All about gambling now. That's so boring.
And I was chatting with Emma the other day about sports leagues for amateurs for like offices and stuff. Like, she has some guys who were asking me about, you know, or they were asking her about playing in some golf league or softball this and all this stuff that they do. And, you know, I was telling her like the best part about these sports leagues with the offices or with groups of friends, you know, the adult leagues is everyone gets wasted, man. And like playing these sports wasted, it gets a little dangerous. I mean, there is some serious injury going on, but it's really hilarious and a lot of fun. And I was thinking, like, man, they should throw that on TV once in a while. I would switch out of Monday Night Football any evening to watch some drunk dudes play some softball.
Especially like company like league, because you always got the guys that take it too serious.
Yes.
And they're playing with a bunch of drunk idiots.
Yeah. That's right.
That is the best thing to watch.
Every team has the one guy who made it on as a walk-on to like the Colorado Rockies one summer after college. And you know, he's bigger than everybody, and he just crushes home runs.
Dude, we had a guy in our company team in the Army. He was the warrant officer. He was this big-ass guy. The funniest part was his last name was Hayes. And everybody would call him Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah.
He was the biggest guy on the team, bro. First game, he pulls out his like bat out of this bag. Dude, it's all shiny. He's got the rag. You know, like he's fucking polishing his fucking bat. He's like, yeah. Like, this is the brand I've used ever since I played D1 baseball.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dude. And then, bro, I'm not like it was out of the movie. This guy goes up, fucking pops it 900 feet straight up in the air. Couldn't even see the ball. And then the pitcher caught it. Like, it was either the pitcher or the shortstop caught his pom-pom every single time, dude. It was so funny. He was the highest ranking guy on the team, so you couldn't really say too much. But we'd always just be like, way to hit it, Willie Mays. Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah, the best part about Willie Mays Hayes is he has all the batting gloves. He's going to hang them up for every base that he steals. And then he goes to steal the first base, and he's like 2 inches short of the base. Awesome, man. That's so good. I read somewhere that they tagged Liam Neeson to be Frank Drummond on the reboot of Naked Gun.
They're doing another Naked Gun?
They're rebooting Naked Gun, unfortunately, yeah. And they've got Liam Neeson as the straight-faced detective. And I was a little disappointed to hear this, man. I feel like Naked Gun, you gotta leave it where it is back when in the time that it came out, man. It's fantastic. It's perfect. You can't remake that. You can't recapture that level of comedy in the woke era. It's impossible.
No, plus that scene where he's like, he's in the police precinct and he gets out of the fucking straitjacket. Right?
Yes.
And then he's like, oh yeah, everybody puts the money on the table, and he just walks up to the corner and like pops his shoulder back into place. That was just the 80s, dude. Everybody believed it was a thing. Like, you can't do that now. We all know how stupid that is. Come on.
Oh man. That's
just like that remake of Roadhouse. Have you tried to watch this piece of garbage?
Okay, so if I'm not mistaken, it's starring Jake Gyllenhaal, who it blew my mind that his name has the two A's at the end for the Hall. I feel like that's some sort of Berenstain Bears going on here with the Gyllenhaal. It looks really weird now. We got like a Fruit of the Loom situation happening with this one. But it's...
Yeah,
it doesn't look right, man. But I don't know. Maybe, you know, I'm gonna toss it up to my ignorance. But I will say that the movie looked kind of absurd. It has Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor. Is that right?
McGregor, Post Malone. It's got these people. Dude, this is, you know it's bad because it's 59 with the critics, 54 with the audience.
That's no good, man. Why did they cast so many non-actors in this movie?
Isn't that what they kind of did with the first one?
Well, no, I don't know. I only remember Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, that's really all I got, too. I was trying to think of who the other guys were.
That was the power of Patrick Swayze. He would just capture you into him, and all you could remember was Patrick Swayze in the moment. You know what's crazy about Jake Gyllenhaal doing the role of the Patrick Swayze in this Roadhouse is he was in the Donnie Darko movie with Patrick Swayze, if you recall.
He's in Donnie Darko?
Yes, he plays this like kind of motivational speaker, and he ends up getting busted with child porn. It's this weird, it's a very bizarre subplot in Donnie Darko. But Patrick Swayze is in Donnie Darko. And I'm pretty sure Donnie Darko was one of the main hits that brought Gyllenhaal into the mainstream there. Maybe it's probably the Rocket Ship movie. I'm pretty sure it was him.
What's up?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was in the Donnie Darko. I'm almost certain.
Yeah, him and his sister. It was Maggie and Jake Gyllenhaal. Drew Barrymore. And Seth Rogen was in there, too.
Oh, that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen kind of pops up in a lot of random movies. It's pretty cool.
Well, don't waste your time with Roadhouse. Terrible movie. Really dumb. Really dumb. And I mean, the first one wasn't.
What you're about to say is the first one, it was an ass classic. It's an ass movie, but it's a classic.
Yes. Only because it was Patrick Swayze, you know what I mean? And it was like just like Naked Gun, dude. It was for that time. It was that time, that
yes,
place.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't do it now. 2024. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't work. The dynamic doesn't make sense in our modern era. You know why? Because there's no tough guys anymore.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about that. Yeah, 2024, because this guy's like getting stabbed and doesn't care, going to the thing. I mean, dude, if this was a real world situation 4 years ago, your faggot ass was wearing a mask. You know what I'm saying? I know you're vaccinated, so what's going on here? Mr. Tough Guys.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. So anyways. No, but really, I was, you know what I instantly thought about? How, like, well, the movie doesn't make sense in the frame of mind that we live in the era of no tough guys. Here in Denver, we just had a guy get beat up by two teenage chicks at a bus stop. I mean, that's kind of where we're at with the guys here in American society.
Because the whole premise of the movie is not only this one guy, the toughest guy to ever live, but you had to call him in. Because there were so many tough guys in your neighborhood at just at this bar.
Yeah, you're right. It was like
you filled this bar every night with tough guys. Where are you finding these? Have you been to Chicago?
Right, man. Yeah, I mean, maybe a biker bar somewhere, Iowa, somewhere near Sturgis, North Dakota.
I don't know, man. Maybe Sturgis lately.
Yeah, so this movie would be more believable if they brought in a tough lesbian to beat everybody up.
Yeah, that's what they need. You know, that's what they need.
They should have cast, what's her name, Kristen Stewart. She could have the spiky hair with the rolled-up sleeves and the pack of Marlboros in the sleeves.
Hey, you got to go diversity with that big black chick from SNL. What's her name?
Oh, dude, people great call, actually. Leslie Jones, dude.
Leslie Jones. Yeah. She should be, you know what I mean? That's the toughest guy I've seen on TV in like 15 years.
Wow, man. Yeah, she is. She's a little scary, actually. It's a great call.
Scarier than Jake Gyllenhaal, you know? Be a terrible movie. Oh, yeah. Then you could call it The Cat House instead of Roadhouse.
Oh, wow. Meow, my friend. Yeah. All right.
Dude. Need a big dyke like Leslie to come in and take care of these 13-year-old girls that are ravaging Denver.
Oh, you know? Man. And the sheriff, played by Liz Cheney. The dyke is back in town.
Leslie's got the dick. We brought the dyke.
Oh, man. Where are we at here? All right, we've crossed over the half hour part. We have blown past the billionaire talk. I'm good on that one. But
that was a little bit of a tangent.
Welcome to Tangent with Mike and Frank.
2,700 billionaires, though, is, it just goes to show you how money doesn't even matter anymore. It's a joke.
That was exactly my point. And when I was listening to some of this being reported on NPR on the ride home from work, on the loop I take that gets you onto the highway, every day there's this one billboard above the loop, and it's the Lotto, you know, the Mega Millions or the Powerball.
Yeah, the Powerball.
I'm driving around the loop, and I'm looking at it today as this lady's reporting this on NPR, and I'm thinking, they don't even have enough number slots to show you how much the Lotto is now, because it's at a billion something. They just have the 999, and it's maxed out.
Oh, what?
It just is 999, but it's well into the billions. That's how worthless the dollar is, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. We're just giving away a billion?
Yes, dude.
Giving away $1 billion.
That's how desperate people are. A billion people put in a buck into the Lotto system, man. That's outrageous.
Oh, it's so bad even Zelensky's starting to play the...
Winning money. The hookers and the cocaine.
Did you see that new picture?
No, I didn't, man.
Oh, dude, it's so good. It's him on the battlefield with the olive drab sweatshirt. It's like this, I don't even know what it is. It's probably like a... I don't even know. It's like this weird-looking sweatshirt, but even the sweatshirt has the... the zipper pocket on the sleeve.
Yes, dude. Well, it's
you can't
the,
give it up.
It's the best place to hide your cocaine.
For sure.
It's just this little spot for your little baggie, man.
Yeah, just ask Hunter. They made him wear a regular shirt. Dropped his cocaine in the White House, you know?
Oh, man, what a callback, dude. That's how crazy the last few years have been with the Biden administration. They found a mysterious bag of cocaine in the White House. Nobody claimed it. They have no evidence as to who it belongs to, and everybody forgot about it like 2 days later.
Yeah, the number one story should have been there's apparently no cameras in the White House.
I know.
Because somebody dropped a bag of cocaine. We don't even know who to ask.
We don't have any idea.
The only eyewitness at the time just happened to climb into the submersible. Remember the submersible? Oh, yeah, man. Just blew your minds. Everybody forgot about the submersible.
Holy shit. The Titanic one?
Yeah, dude. What happened, man? I saw there's a documentary out about it, and they go, like, really in-depth with the knocking that they heard. And apparently they, like, still claim there was some knocking.
No.
Outrageous, man.
I think they're just mad because it was the Navy and they didn't want to, like, they still haven't admitted what it is.
You think the Navy, you think the Navy, like, shot him out of the water? Probably.
Maybe by accident. I didn't even think about that until you said it. Maybe.
We do that stuff all the time and we just blame it on an accident or don't say anything.
I mean, just think about the scenario here. Me and you are on a submarine.
That's right.
We don't know what that bleeping thing on the radar is.
Oh, yeah.
You get a little anxious. You launch that missile. Knock it out. Turns out it was these people exploring the Titanic. It's fucking 3,000 feet below the sea, dude. Who's going to find out? Who will ever know? You know, and then you lie about.
And then it becomes the greatest news sensation of like in the history of the planet for 2 months. People are obsessed with that thing.
2 months, couple weeks. We get 3 weeks. Short attention span. 3 weeks.
Yeah, you're right. We are goldfish. We'll give it a week or two, maybe. Actually, now that I think about it, how long were we into the submersible? It was January last year, I think. Right.
I don't remember.
See,
it was a few weeks.
Nobody cares. That's how that you know, and rightfully so. Folks, don't get into a tin can the size of a toothpaste bottle and think that you're going to go visit the Titanic. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it is so dumb.
It's a bad vacation. All right, man. Well, I had something else that I was... Oh, yeah, that's right. We were going down the territory, and I wanted to kind of just reflect back for a moment on the holiday weekend that we just had, and you and I brushed upon it a bit, how they kind of coincidentally timed their celebration of the day of visibility out there with the Easter. Right?
Visibility.
Interesting, yeah. Interesting timing there. Well, either way, I found a fascinating take on it, and I know you're a big fan of this fella, Lady Fella. I got our friend, Bruce, Caitlyn Jenner, discussing or giving his take on the timing of the Biden administration and their celebration of the Trans Day of Visibility. And I like hearing from Caitlyn Jenner because I think this is a good, definitive, honest perspective, right?
Yeah, she's usually good for that.
That's right.
I thought you were going to play the clip.
No, it was a good dramatic lean back with the sip. I liked that, man. That was very good. Gave a lot of power to it. All right, let's do it.
Our next guest says she is absolutely disgusted by the move. Let's Caitlyn Jenner, Olympic gold decathlon winner, and a Fox News contributor. Caitlyn, in the past, you have celebrated Transgender Day of Visibility. But this year, you're saying they shouldn't have done it on Easter or shouldn't have promoted it. Which, what's your concern?
Well, my only concern, and first of all, the Transgender Day of Visibility is fine. I have used it in the past. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Trans people.
I love Bruce. There's no hiding the Bruce behind the Caitlyn. <All
right. laughs> Doesn't even try.
But no matter what, man, this is like a 6'5 super athlete. Like, you can't hide that testosterone, man. It's in there.
You're a giant Olympian.
You know what
I mean?
Yes.
I like how he doesn't even try to do the gay voice, you know?
I'm a big fan of that. That's why I like the Caitlyn Jenner.
Okay. My number one problem with this whole thing is this proclamation. President Biden never should have done it. To be honest with you, if he just said nothing, he would have been fine. But I firmly believe that the left, they constantly look at the media and how they can manipulate things. And it's a shame. I mean, here Joe Biden's supposed to be a devout Christian, a devout Catholic. And to be honest with you, what he did is really flip the middle finger at all people of religion. Even the D.C. Archbishop on this weekend on Face the Nation called him a cafeteria Catholic, meaning he uses religion when it's convenient for him. And that's exactly what he did. And it's just a shame. This is really about, again, the Democrats, the left, destroying the family structure, destroying religion. I mean, look at took the religious symbols off the Easter eggs in the White House Easter egg hunt. It's just all about trying to destroy religion. And what do they want? They want the religion to be government. So it's just, it's a shame that the trans community is being used like this.
He nailed it, man.
Yeah, really good.
They're being used, absolutely. And the timing of it was just so ridiculous, man. I couldn't get over it, dude. Like, the flooding of the social medias with all the messages from everybody across the political landscape, dude. It was so lame, man. And to top it off with the taking off the religious symbols from the eggs? Like, come on, man. Like, why else are we doing Easter, dude? It has nothing. There's no other reason to do Easter.
I don't know if you guys know this, but bunnies don't lay eggs. Why do you have bunny eggs if you're not celebrating? So, you know what I'm saying?
They're all in on the bunny, they're all in on the eggs, but they don't want anything to do with the Christ, even though the whole holiday is about the Christ, you know, rising again.
I mean, without Christ, the bunny with the eggs is just stupid. I mean, it's stupid with the Christ, but, you know.
We're basically kind of dabbling into some bestiality, I think, you know, or no, what's the furries? Do you know that? That's the,
Yeah. Oh, you know that guy in that suit's getting his jollies off of it, dude. Come
Absolutely.
On.
And you know the guy in the suit used to be a gal, right? Oh, yeah, of course, man. Of course.
I'm not saying everybody who's worn a bunny suit on Easter is a pedophile. But every pedophile has worn a bunny suit on Easter. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I think we can all get behind that one. Absolutely, dude. Oh, man. Good times had by all. Whenever this crazy stuff happens or goes on, it's good to hear from the Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner. I think there's a lot of logic behind those words. This is maybe Caitlyn Jenner, maybe the most outspoken athlete and celebrity, if you will, about the Riley Gaines, Leah Thomas situation, which is nice. Yeah. I mean, it's just good to have somebody who's kind of like Leah Thomas saying, hey, you know, this Leah Thomas guy, he's got to cut it out. You know, he's making guys like me look bad.
Well, she's proof that the left doesn't care about you, transgender or minority or whatever. They just want you to vote for them because they hate Caitlyn Jenner.
Yes.
They hate Caitlyn Jenner. And you think, oh my God, but you guys, all you do is talk about, look, you have a whole day of visibility for her. All you do is talk about making the world a better place for her, right? Yeah. But you hate her because she voted for Donald Trump and she wants boys to compete with boys.
That's right.
It's insane, you know?
Well, it's just like Larry Elder. Larry Elder tries to run against Gavin Newsom in a runoff election, and all of a sudden, we have now our own very brand new face of white supremacy. He's black, but he's the face of white supremacy.
The black face. We have the white face. This is the black face of white supremacy.
It's
insane.
I know.
I can't believe people listen to these fools.
Well, you know me, Mike. I'm big on the pendulum swing, right? I always try to look at the glass half full, and I've been really kind of hammering on this lately, how they went too hard on everything with this cultural wokeism. And what I'm seeing now, and I saw on, let's see if I can get it here. There it is. This was on Axios. Yeah. So on Axios, they had a fantastic article about how the backlash is real and how, you know, DEI, the diversity, equity, and conclusion. Yeah. In conclusion.
Oh, look at that. It doesn't exist. And then it's the most important thing in the world.
Mike, what happened here? Did we have a summer of love? I think there was a summer of love right around there.
It even kind of looks like a pair of tits. All about love.
Yeah, man. So we had the summer of love there, and then look at that freaking peak in 2021, man. That is crazy. Yeah. And so what this is based off of, essentially, is that I'll go down here a little bit. Basically, the companies at that time that you saw on the graph, they went all in on hiring people for these made-up positions that never existed before, like officers of the DEI and people who were...
Oh, you had... Dude, you had whole divisions. It was like they hired 9 people, all with six-figure salaries, just to be sure they're inclusive and diverse enough.
Yes, man.
That's... You can't do that. There's not a way to run a company. There's not enough in the margin, you know?
Well, it's not only that. When you start hiring people based on the color of their skin, the other people who aren't the same skin color start to sue these companies because what they're doing is called racist. Yeah, that's right. It's called racism. And, like, they're kind of, I don't know, being the racist in this situation, right?
Oh, the worst part is you had white chicks studying this shit in college.
Yes, dude.
What do you mean?
This is fantastic stuff. I recommend the article to everyone in Axios. It's not even actually an article, as you can see. The mainstream media thinks we're all a bunch of morons and we need things you know, displayed for us in bullet points and, you know, little divisions here and there because we're stupid. But luckily, and like I said, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. Believing in the pendulum swing. There's that swing, and then there it goes.
Yeah, and that's mentions of DEI in quarterly earnings calls.
Yeah, man.
Why would you ever mention it in the earnings calls?
You want me to put it back up on the screen? Were you,
you know what happened is they lost a lot of money.
Yes.
They started losing money, and now...
Absolutely, dude. First of all, turn on your TV and watch a few commercials from time to time. There's one type of guy missing from everything. All right.
Yeah. Actually, can you put that back on the screen real quick?
Oh, absolutely, man. Let's get it here.
You know, I think you could actually see it if you look real close. Yeah, you see that last peak there right before it does that extreme dive down?
Yeah, man.
Right, I think that's right when Kid Rock blew up the Bud Light.
Dude, you're psycho. You're reading my mind, man, because I was literally thinking, like, these calls that they were making, they're talking about Bud Light, essentially, or Budweiser, right? Anheuser-Busch, and they were basically discussing the backlash to Bud Light, which now, I mean, I don't even think it exists anymore. I see it nowhere, man. So, yeah, you're right on the money.
Those are all three of those peaks. Those are, like, some... Somebody lost a lot of money, you know?
Yeah, great call. Massive moments of backlash, essentially.
Like that first peak, I believe, is when Leslie Jones and the new Ghostbusters came out.
That's right.
Everybody stopped, you know? Maybe we could try again, you know?
I think that's also when the second national anthem debuted, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's not taking off, huh?
It is not happening, no. And did you happen to catch the women's NCAA tournament the other day?
No, I, dude, I don't even care about the men's. I don't care about any of it. Why is everybody now talking about the women's?
Because they want you to, because nobody actually watches women's sports. But that aside, the most fascinating part of the, much hyped Iowa-LSU game is that the LSU team did their warm-ups with Iowa, you know, on their sides of the court, and then LSU left the court, and Iowa stayed on for the national anthem.
So they were disqualified.
No,
you quit.
Well, no, they came back on to play the game and lost, rightfully so, because they're ungrateful and don't care about this country. But the coach had to come out and say, no, we actually, this isn't crazy or anything. We never are on the court for the national anthem. We have our own ritual we do in the, foyer leading into the court. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Thought you would like that one.
I think if you leave, you're done. You quit. You forfeit. Right? You can't sing the national anthem. Are you playing in America?
That's right. We should send that entire team on a flight over to Russia, and they can hang out with Brittany Griner for a day. She can give them a tour of the Russian prison, see what they think of it.
Fine, I'll give it to some of the professional athletes. Some of these guys, whatever, grew up in poverty and like terrible, like they, some of them didn't have good upbringings, everything. But you're at LSU.
I know.
Like, how hard was your life? How bad is your life that you need to fucking leave for the national anthem? America didn't give you everything in the world, every opportunity. You're at LSU.
I know.
Wait, is that the one that left? Which one left?
LSU. You got it right.
LSU.
Yeah, and not only that, tuition, I saw somewhere it's up to like 95,000, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's game over if you want that higher ed, man.
Yeah, so you're sitting there getting $500,000 education, playing basketball. Everybody in the world's watching you, apparently, and you're gonna cry. All right.
Oh,
yeah, life's been so fair.
The star of the LSU team complained about the rampant racism she received via social media, and how it had been a tough journey for her. Which I understand. These are young kids. Ultimately, we're talking about 19, 20, 21 year old kids, man. And I'm sure it's tough, honestly, but also, Emma pointed this out to me, which I would have never noticed. Neither would you or most average sports watchers. The girls in these games are, and this is according to Emma, right? She says that, when we're watching, you can tell they are wearing extremely expensive makeup. And they all have, like, really high-end, like, makeovers and stuff. And, like, they go into these games completely dolled up. And so, you start to squint and look in, and you're like, oh, yeah, man, they're, like, caked on, dude. How are you competing? And then you got this, like, entire thing of makeup on, man. And, like, their nails, dude, they have, like, full-on long nails going on. Like, come on, like, this is why guys don't really get into female sports. You know what I'm saying? Like,
curious.
And although it's not very different from men's basketball, have you seen Carlos Boozer? I mean, the dude literally drew his hair on for several years, dude.
So LeBron gets his nails done in between plays. He's got the guy that comes out and polishes it while he sits on his throne. It's 6 inches taller than everybody else. That's why he can't run back and play D.
Oh, man.
He doesn't want the run.
It's not worth your time to run back and play D if you really intend on hanging back and getting the lob pass so you could do the showcase dunk for SportsCenter every night, right?
Yeah.
The bomb. It's funny watching basketball because I'm all in on it's WWE. We are watching virtually almost totally scripted entertainment at this point. I don't think the players know outside of a few key guys, but, it's just completely ridiculous to observe. And they were debating on this pregame. We got like 10 more games in the season, and they were debating the likelihood of LeBron and the Lakers and Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors making it into the playoff round. You're going to hear it here first right now, guaranteed. LeBron and Steph Curry are going to be in the playoffs this year.
You might as well call him LeSwift. Yeah. He's going to the championship. You know what I mean?
Yes, man. Absolutely. I promise you. Last year, the Lakers were complete trash. And somehow they squeaked into the playoffs. And then lo and behold, the Nuggets are playing the Lakers in the championship game to get to the finals. Like, come on, man. Come on, dude.
It's money. It's the money. It's all about the money.
LeBron's going to sneak in there. They're going to somehow make it to game seven in each round, tire out the other team, and then make it to the next round. And, you know, they'll milk that cash cow. Absolutely.
I can believe this. Steph Curry is now dating Rihanna.
Oh, that's right.
You know, like, they need something like that. They need a power couple in the NBA.
Oh, yeah. They used to have it with Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union. Are you familiar with this power couple?
They had the trans.
Yes,
right?
They have the trans. Yeah. Yes, dude. And they are all in on that.
It's the mom that's fighting it.
The mom.
He's not with her anymore.
Oh, like the original mom?
Or is that the one he's with, but he had he had a kid with somebody else.
Yeah, there's something controversial going on there. I don't remember what it was.
And the mom is the one that keeps taking him to court trying to get the kid back because it's Wade and the stepmom that are like pushing this kid into being a trans.
Right, who is Gabrielle Union, who's clearly some sort of sociopathic nut job. You know, these power-hungry people, man, they're all about the fame.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't care about ruining a kid's life if it gets them more fame.
Yeah, you know? If it gets them an interview on Oprah, you know, or they get to go on Today in the Morning and yuck it up with Michael Strahan and talk about how their kid's training, absolutely, dude. Yeah.